We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30-plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. We'll get some baseball today. Adam McKelvey set to join us from Arizona at 9 a.m. this morning. Some interesting news via their pitching staff, the Brewers, over the weekend, where Zach Davies not so good yesterday. Jimmy Nelson, pretty good on Saturday. We'll see what that all means coming up throughout the show. We'll get a little football today as well, some of the latest on the Packers, and as the grades continue to come in from free agency. But we start with basketball, and we'll start, Freems, with the NCAA tournament, or do you want to start with the Bucks?
Well, I mean, the NCAA tournament, I mean, I think both things are big stories, but I think the day after the, you know, the seedings come out, usually, you know, we start off with the tournament here, because that's, I think people are filling out their brackets today. They're going to the office. You know, there's always one guy who gathers in the pools. Look at my email this morning. I got like four or five different people emailing, you know, blast emails out to everybody to get these pools together before Thursday. So I think probably the NCAA tournament.
I'm kind of screwed when it comes to pools this year because I when's payday? Friday?
Yeah.
And you got to get your money in by like Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Oof, it's going to be tough. I had a bad night at Pato on Saturday. I do not have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of cash on hand.
I heard it was a big all-around loss for you on Saturday.
What does that mean?
Well, you spent a lot of money to get into the wrestling, and you left halfway through it.
Okay, who said I left halfway through? One. Second, I left close to the end.
Okay.
Close to the end.
All right, so see, I mean, that's what happens when you listen to rumors. At the game yesterday, somebody told me that you took off.
All right, so they had the house show on Saturday. We'll talk about that later. I do want to tell you about it.
You left to go to Pato. You said you left halfway through.
It was, well, they did the intermission. They do 2 hours of show, then an intermission, and then 20 more minutes of show. So the intermission is basically, hey, everyone, go buy stuff real quick. One more chance, and then we'll do two matches. They did not bring a lot of their A stars, so I don't regret anything with the wrestling. Good seats.
Those house shows don't do anything for me either.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I like it. Like when a Raw comes here or a SmackDown, when they have a live thing like that, that's cool. Or obviously a pay-per-view. But the house show, I even thought about going. We thought about going, and I was like, yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's just a house show. And I heard it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. Then I went to Pato after, and I lost a lot of money. So I don't, like, my checking account is $30 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I need to wait till payday, but I can't.
What, did you drop a couple of hundy?
Sure.
Blackjack?
Yep.
Yeah, we were talking about blackjack at the Bucks game yesterday with some of the guys in the media. And it's like, man, that's just an evil game. Some of the guys were just salivating. They were talking about going after the game yesterday. I was like, no, don't do it. Don't do it, guys. Don't do it. Because it's just like, man, if you win one time, you feel like that's like an ATM for you, and you go back down there and you throw it all back and then some. It's just, man, it gets you quickly.
Well, the rumor on Saturday and the buzz throughout the casino was that the Sixers were there. Now, we walked into the high roller room to see if anyone was in there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they had like a private room or if they were not even there, but that was the rumor going around the casino, was that Jimmy Butler and Embiid were there. But I never found anybody, so cannot confirm.
I'll tell you what. There's been a lot of Sixer teams that I haven't liked in the past, okay? I mean, this is going back to the 80s. This might be my most disliked team. I do not like this team. Good players. Man, they're just not a likable bunch at all. Not a likable bunch at all. Yeah, Joel, especially Embiid. You know, I just, not a great player. Great player. But man, you know, some of his antics, just unnecessary. You know, not all the time, doesn't hustle all the time. Boy, that guy could be just a phenomenal, I mean, he is a great player, but Jesus. Sometimes it's just, you could tell his head is just not in the game.
I haven't made my mind up on Embiid.
Even with dropping in 40 last night.
You don't think his head's in the game?
Oh, did you see how he got out-jumped?
By Bledsoe?
Yeah, that should never happen. Okay, I mean, it was funny just seeing those two at the free throw circle, and Embiid, you know, his mind was somewhere else, and sometimes he's just not with it on the court. He's out of place defensively, but he's so good that even with that said, he can still drop 40 on somebody. But he played, I'll say this, of all the times I've ever seen him play, he played with the most motor I've ever seen him play with.
So 40 and 15, not enough for you because
he missed the
jump ball.
No. You're missing the point again.
I do, Chuck. We got to talk about this because I do miss the point.
Okay.
Because sometimes I think that you look at one thing a guy did.
No. I just told you he was.
I'm
saying he's such a good player. He is such a good player. He's such a good player. So talented, man. So talented that guy could. I mean, the guy has missed like 7 or 8 games at its crack and come back and drop 36 on somebody. But I'm telling you, the antics, and sometimes he's asleep out there. But, and even with that said, he's such a good ball player. He's so good that he can overcome that stuff. It's amazing, man. It is. He is so talented.
Yeah, I guess I disagree with you on the first part.
How's that?
I don't think there's antics. I don't think he's asleep out there.
Oh, there's sometimes that he's not, you could tell. A couple of trips down, he'll take a couple of trips off on the court, up and down.
Most everyone will.
Well, have you ever seen Giannis do it?
No, but Giannis has had some turnover problems lately. You don't drill him for that. You don't say his head's out of the game for that.
No, but there's a difference part of making mistakes, physical mistakes, and then making some, you know, just, you know, you always want a guy who's in tune to the game. And Embiid is, he's a little bit drama. I mean, when Butler first came there, he talked about how his, you know, adding Butler was taking him out of his game a little bit. And he didn't like that. He felt he was, you know, he didn't play enough on the post, and he was complaining about that. I'm just saying, great player, but, you know, he's not going to give you 1,000% all the time. And Brett Brown, the head coach of the Sixers, of course, made sure to praise Embiid that, hey, man, you know, you're playing at, you know, you, when you hustle out there, and you play at a high level, you're going to be greater than great. But I'm telling you, I mean, he was the best. And Giannis had his 52, but Embiid still was the best player on the court yesterday because the guy was just delivering in the clutch yesterday. Just amazing how good he is.
See, I watched this game in full, obviously.
Yeah.
And then last Sunday, the Sixers were on NBA or NBA and ABC as well. So I watched that game. I forget who they played now, but they were on. Was it Boston? No. The Rockets, maybe? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Last week, they played the Rockets?
I thought it was the Rockets.
I don't remember. But Embiid was so good.
Yeah.
And he had such a big second half, and he's so good that he was the best player on the court yesterday, and he is going to be a problem in a playoff series. And I do still disagree with you about how much. I get what you're saying sometimes. Oh, he makes an Instagram post or maybe he says something that like another NBA guy wouldn't say, and you know he kind of like gets chatty and chirpy with some of these guys, mm-hmm. and you'd just be like, all right, well, in the perfect world, Embiid wouldn't say that because it's locker room fodder for whatever. But I don't see him taking plays off on the court. I know he got out jumped by a guy a foot shorter than him, but I'm not gonna look at that play and then wash over the fact that he was 40 and 15.
Yeah, no, I said, man, what a great game. But the guy does take plays off from time to time. But that said, I don't want to go back and forth on Embiid, man. But I think this Sixer team, I think we saw the start of something yesterday between the two teams. Obviously, you know, you saw on Instagram or Twitter, you know, Giannis's comments about Simmons. Obviously, he doesn't like Simmons. And you could tell just that there's some little bit of bad blood that might have started yesterday.
Did he say anything after the game? I saw during the game he said he's an effing baby.
Yeah, yeah. No, didn't really comment on it yesterday. You know, he was mostly talking about, you know, his injury, which he says he's fine. God, when he went down with the ankle yesterday, and we're starting off talking about the Bucks, but, I mean, how can you not with that, you know, that game yesterday? Giannis went down, man. I've never heard a hush quite like that. Man, that place was buzzing. And then when Giannis went down, man, you could have literally heard a pin drop in that place. When he went down, it's like, I don't know how it came across on TV, but it was just a weird feeling to hear everybody just quiet.
Oh, it came across like the season was over.
Oh, my God,
yes. It came across like.
Yeah, yeah.
Standing there in my living room. This was a game that I stood for. You know those games in your living room where you're standing watching a game in your living room?
And it's a regular season game where, you know, the Bucks pretty much got the one of the top two seeds filled. But it just seemed like that was a tough one. I mean, because they didn't have Brogdon, you wanted to see how they were going to do without him. And I thought they missed, you know, there's some of that they missed of him yesterday. But, man, that was an awesome game. I mean, the Bucks just couldn't get the lead. They got within three a couple of times, but got every time Embiid or Butler would hit big shots for them.
Yeah, the thing with yesterday's game and the thing with like Friday's game against the Heat is I think that the Bucks will have the one seed. I don't really think they're not going to. I mean, I would bet, although my betting this weekend was not good and I lost a lot of money at Pato, but I would bet pretty confidently that the Bucks are going to get the one seed. I just don't think that Toronto can pass them or will. Very confident that the Bucks get the one, and I know you got to play it out, whatever, but they've got the one. To me, they've got the one. So when you have these games against the Heat, first of all, when you go down, you're thinking, oh, well, this is a potential 1-8 matchup. The Bucks, they got to beat the Heat. We're penciling him to at least the second round. You got to beat the Heat. I mean, this game's important because you got to beat them now so that you know you can beat them later. And then on Sunday, it's like, well, you got to beat the Sixers now because you got to know that you can beat them in the playoffs. So it's like, I don't think they have a ton to play for. I wish they would just keep these guys, you know, rested and keep them healthy because the, you know, crowd did gasp when Giannis went down. And you are without Brogdon now for 6 to 8 weeks. And so what are you playing for? You want to stay sharp, but you want to stay rested. You want to stay focused, but you want to stay healthy. And at the same time, how much confidence and momentum plays into these games over the next month. You know, if you take on the Heat and the last remembrance that you have is getting beat by them, and then same with the Sixers, you remember them beating you. I never know, and that's why we've talked about this a lot with college basketball and some of these final games here leading into the tournament. What effect these kind of games have? Does it matter more if the Bucks won yesterday? Will that help them in a series with the Sixers? Does losing really hurt them? Does it help them? I never know how to correlate what happened this weekend with what's going to happen in playoff matchups should the Bucks play either of these teams.
Well, I think the biggest thing is,
but in the moment you want to win.
Well, I think the biggest thing is how are the Bucks going to adjust without having Brogdon in there? I think that's such a huge loss. It is. You might say he might be the second most important player on that team because he brings it consistently every night. How many guys can shoot 90% from the free throw line, 50% from the field, 40% from the three-point arc? I mean, he's just so consistent. And, you know, he's the smartest player on the team. And I just think he is. He's a guy who, you know, he's going to bring his A game and be good every night. All right. He doesn't have too many off nights. All right. He's had a terrific year. And I just think that's a huge loss. We'll see how the Bucks adjust after that and, you know, how their combinations are. They started Mirotić yesterday. That didn't go so well. All right. They got off to a rough start. Mirotić didn't play very well. And, you know, I mean, I just think they're going to miss Brogdon. Can they recover from this? We'll see. You know, hopefully, God, I mean, they got to get him back. If that injury, that foot injury, you know, I was talking with Steve Ashenberger yesterday, who's been on our show from NBA.com, and he said, man, I've seen guys miss years because of that injury, because that thing just doesn't heal. So
that is not what I want to hear.
No. But it's true. Because that plant, that plantar fasciitis or whatever it's called.
We're just gonna call it foot injury on the show.
But that's like That's some, you know, something I don't think you have surgery for. You just need it to heal, and you know, it just sometimes it just takes time. It just takes time. But you know, if they say 6 to 8 weeks, hopefully that's it, and he can come back and be good. But they're going to miss him. They are definitely going to miss Brogdon.
Well, we'll talk a little more about the Bucks. We'll get into the bracket stuff momentarily. We did mention Embiid 40 and 15, so we should mention Giannis 52 and 16, a career high for the Greek Freak. We'll talk about the moment he did go down, what that was like, and more. 414-799-1250 is the Bucks fall to the Sixers yesterday on national TV, 130 to 125. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 on the AM, and all over this little rock of ours on the Radio.com app.
Definitely, we felt it tonight. You know, it's not having Malcolm, it's a big loss, but at the end of the day, you know, we got to play as a team, and we have a lot of guys ready that are going to step up.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Bucks lose yesterday, 130 to 125. Chuck Freeman alongside Bart Winkler here on The Fan in the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, 414-799-1250. You can reach us at 105.7 FM The Fan on all the social media channels. So no Brogdon, who we find out over the weekend should miss about 6 to 8 weeks with... We're just calling it a foot injury. Let me go a stab at this. Plantar fasciitis?
Yes.
That actually sounded right.
Fasciitis, yes.
Is that right?
Plantar.
Oh, plantar.
It's not something you get for being a farmer.
Plantar.
That'd be a plantar fasciitis.
Is it plantar or plantar?
Plantar. Planter.
Let's just call it PL.
P-L-T-A-A-R. If it was a farmer having a foot injury, then it'd be plantar, like the peanuts, plantar.
I see.
Plantar fasciitis.
I see what's happening here. I think I'm over my cold, by the way. Just don't make me laugh or it will sound terrible.
Yeah.
The cough comes back with the laugh.
I think I'm over mine. It's kind of passed through the morning show. I don't know how it passed through the rest of the radio station, but...
Well, the rest of the station was gone last week.
That's probably good for the better, I guess.
They were all in Arizona.
Probably for the better, man.
I think they all trickled back here.
The sicknesses among us, so...
Today. Yeah, just don't make me laugh. Friday, I kept laughing because Holden was yucking it up and listeners were making me giggle and I was coughing all over the place. So don't make me laugh.
Okay.
And I'll cough. 414-799-1250. We found out about Malcolm Brogdon again. 6 to 8 weeks. So if you look at that situation, if it's 6 weeks, because the playoffs begin in 4 weeks. So if he's out 6 weeks, you're going to miss your first round playoff series or come back at the end or whatever. If it's 8 weeks, I mean, he could be out until the conference finals.
Yeah. Boy, I mean, it's just tough to speculate with that type of injury because that could last for a while or he could be ready to go in 6 weeks. You know, there were some reports that it might be on the short end, maybe 6 weeks or sooner. But, you know, who knows how quickly that thing's going to – because you can't walk on that thing, man. It's just tough. He had to come out of the Miami game and couldn't play, and they had to shut him down. And, you know, the x-ray said that he's got this, and you just never know how this type of injury is going to heal. ACL, you know, you bust your ACL, they take you in that operating room and they fix it and you're out and you know how much longer you're going to miss usually with that. This plantar fasciitis, it's an unknown because it's gone. You know, again, it has ruined careers and it has ruined seasons for people.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, obviously, as Giannis said, they missed him yesterday. They start Mirotić instead. And that, you know, I don't think is a surprise. Just because a guard goes out, they're not going to replace him with a guard. You've got the Bucks who kind of throw guys around positionless anyway. I do wonder if we'll start to see more DJ Wilson. We did yesterday, 16 minutes, 13 points. You kind of still want to keep Hill on the bench, George Hill, because you need a backup point guard. Maybe they start Connaughton if they do want to go back to a guard. But in the meantime, I would think we see the Bledsoe, Middleton, Giannis, Mirotić, Lopez lineup at least continue for a few more games to see what that's going to look like. Mirotić just had a bad night shooting last night, 0 for 6 from distance. But I would think we see this lineup for a little bit. Do you?
Well, it sounds though. Bud said that they're going to take a look at it. You know, at the press conference after the game yesterday, it wasn't like he said, "Well, you know, Mirotić is going to be in that starting lineup. We're going to make this thing work." And you know, I think in the NBA, you know, with the position thing, as you kind of mentioned there, I don't think that, you know, it necessarily, because yesterday they went with one combination where they had all guards on the court, okay, and Lopez wasn't out there. They went with a small lineup. So teams do this so often. You know, Giannis could play from anywhere from the point guard to the five position,
right,
depending how wide. So I think that part doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't really matter who starts. I mean, Mirotić started, played 23 minutes. I mean, he probably would have played 23 minutes if he was coming off the bench anyway yesterday. But, yeah, I think I told you a couple weeks ago with the Wilson thing, I thought he was going to make his mark. I thought he still was going to find a chance to get it. He needed to be ready because they're still going to need him at times this year. And I thought this even without Brogdon, if he didn't go down. But, yeah, he played so good in the first half, and I thought, man, how come he didn't play more in the third quarter? Because he got, you know, minutes in the first half, and he was on his game, man. He was hitting threes. He was playing well. And then they didn't go to him as much in the second half.
Coach Budenholzer, after the game, on those lineups.
We'll have to massage it a little bit, see, you know, who the groups are going to be. And, you know, we changed up a few things tonight. Just it's natural. You take, knock them out of the mix. So we'll just keep working on it, and it'll be a process. But you know, I think there's different guys that can step up. I think George will start playing a little more, and we'll just figure out the best way to, you know, create a spark or just be better.
And with DJ, I mean, every time he gets an opportunity, he shows he belongs. So I would hope that, you know, if anything good comes out of the Brogdon injury, it's that they jam him back into the lineup a little more. Because, he looked good yesterday. What do you have, three threes?
Yeah, but then again, you know, if you play him some minutes, then whose minutes aren't, you know, who's he going to take away from?
I mean, take away 5 minutes from everybody that's currently playing. Well, you got to find a way to get DJ in there.
But, I mean, some of these other guys, like Ursa, I mean, Bud is not going to, I mean, as many times as it looks like Ursan is going to be squeezed out, he's still going to get his minutes. You know, Snell only got 8 minutes yesterday. I was a little surprised to see that. You know, the original starting lineup they had for last night's game, when they released it to the media, Snell was in the starting lineup. And then on pregame, we found out that Mirotić was going to start. So initially, a couple hours before the game, Snell was penciled in as the starter. And maybe they go to him as a starter, too. Who knows? But, you know, they got to figure out some, as he's mentioned there, find out the different combinations and how it's going to work until Brogdon is ready to go again. I think I can't argue with the fact that I feel a little without Brogdon in there. I mean, I love their chances before of, you know, getting to the NBA Finals. I'm not that it wouldn't take a lot of work, but without Brogdon, man, I think they need him to get through these teams. They do. They need him. I'm not saying they can't do it, but, God, I just with Brogdon, you make things easier on yourself. Not that it's ever easier, but your team is so much better with that. That's a big miss right there.
You can chime in at 105.7 FM, The Fan, Facebook, Twitter. If you would like to impress your friends and be on the radio, give us a call, 414-799-1250. KJ, aloha.
Hey, KJ.
Aloha. Hey, what's going on, fellas?
KJ. Aloha, Ledge. Aloha, Freems.
Okay. Chuck, I'm going to start out by disagreeing with you. You said that you thought that Joel Embiid was the best player on the court yesterday. I have to disagree with you. I clearly, and this is not being a homer, Giannis was the best player on the court yesterday. He had to carry that team, whereas Joel Embiid had much more help than Giannis did yesterday.
Well, that's scary then. If Giannis has got to carry the team and he's not getting help, how are the Bucks ever going to beat the Sixers?
Well, he has 54 points, Chuck.
52.
52 points.
Yeah, well, Embiid.
If that's not carrying the team, what is?
Well, no. But I'm saying Embiid hit shot after shot after shot.
Fine.
And Jimmy Butler.
He also had Jimmy Butler hitting shots. He also had Redick hitting shots. he had all these other guys. Giannis didn't have Middleton was making garbage shots.
Yeah, there was nobody on the Bucks.
Was horrible.
Yeah, and Bledsoe, you know, Bledsoe wasn't very good either.
He carried the team. He was the best guy.
Oh, yeah. If Giannis doesn't put up 52, they probably get blown up by 25 points.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, going forward, they're going to have to find minutes for DJ Wilson. They're going to sorely miss Brogdon going forward as well, because I don't know how they're going to compensate for that, but they've got to find some production off the bench, whether it's, you know, Snell. Or I don't know what. Why is Brown still out? What's wrong with Sterling Brown? Do you know?
I don't know. Brown, does he got a little bit of an injury? I thought he was supposed to play yesterday. In fact, I thought he was going to suck up some minutes.
Yeah. No, I didn't see him. He was sitting on the bench in civilian clothes.
Yeah. So, I don't know why he was not suited up for that game yesterday.
Yeah. So I mean, they're going to have to find some combinations that are going to work right now, and that's tough to do with you know, the amount of games they have left in the regular season, and then going into the playoffs, man. So I don't want to see Mirotić starting. That's one thing I don't. I don't think he is equipped right now to start. He's either on off the bench. He can hit shots from outside, but he's just not a guy that's going to give you enough energy. He just doesn't have good hands either. I mean, he gets the ball, he fumbles the ball, he fumbles rebounds. It's just, I'm not big on that guy right now. Off, you know, starting in the lineup for the Bucks. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully, they can put it together, man.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, man. Yeah, it will be tough beating these guys, man. I mean, I think you got to tip your hat. Philly was just so good from beyond the arc. At one time, they were shooting at 50% from three-point land in the fourth quarter. Up until that point, I got to see what their final total was.
Well, I can tell you the Bucks
47%.
Were 16 of 50.
Yeah. Look at this.
The Bucks missed 34 threes.
Yeah, and look at Philly, 15 of 32 for 47%.
Last year, it took like a month for the Bucks to take 34 threes.
I know.
Collectively.
Yeah.
And they missed 34 yesterday. I'm mad that they lost. I mean, I don't like when the Bucks lose, especially to the Sixers, but I think there's reason to not feel so bad about it. We'll talk to you guys more about this. 414-799-1250. We'll explain that coming up as well. We'll talk some more Bucks. We'll talk some college hoops. Busy weekend. We recap it with you guys. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Sports.
It's got to be professional. We're a team out here, so I mean, if a guy goes down, it's got to be a group effort, you know, to pull it together. I mean, we've been through stretches like that when we've had key players down or out, so it's not just going to be on one person, two people. It's going to be everybody to kind of fill that void.
All right, so our first mention of Chris Middleton today as he spoke after the game. Bucks lose 130-125 to the Sixers. He shot 8 for 18, 3 of 9 from 3. But I think yesterday was another game where people were upset with him. We have done the should Chris Middleton get paid or not show about once a week since the new year. So we're going to try not to do that today. But
no,
but there were people upset with him again.
Yeah, I mean, got off to a slow start. I mean, 8 of 18 doesn't look as bad as when it was like 3 of 14. Because he had his last few shots to...
Yeah, he kept them in it late.
Yeah, later on. But, I mean, for most of the game, he wasn't very good. But if you just look at his numbers, you see 8 of 18, 19 points. It doesn't explain how bad he was through three quarters. But, again, there were a number of guys who, other than Giannis, had bad performances yesterday.
I do want to say this about Middleton. Unless I missed something, he's never come out and said, I want to be paid the max, I'll take nothing but the max. Because I see people constantly getting mad at Middleton, like, how you want to get paid the max and you're playing like this. He's never said that. We've always talked about it. We assume it. But I have never heard Chris Middleton say, I want the max.
Yeah. Again, I'm
so
more...
So don't be as mad at Chris Middleton.
Yeah, I'm more disappointed in that some of these games, though, he hasn't really shown up. And, you know, again, I hear, you know, how he did against the Celtics. He was great last year. But
I totally get where frustration is. But when you're, like, directing your anger at him, just remember that It's you guys and us and the fans that keep throwing the max around. Yeah. We're essentially negotiating on Middleton's behalf because outside of him saying I like playing here, I haven't heard him talk about his future at all.
Yeah. Well, I'm concerned about what's he going to do here in the post, you know, in the stretch run and in the postseason. You know, I mean, look at this yesterday, Bart. You know, they lost by five. They could never really get the lead. They lost by five to a good Philly team who shot the lights out, and you had a number of the one consolation you could take on this is the Bucks didn't get blown out of the barn despite having horrible performances from Bledsoe, Middleton, Lopez wasn't very good, I thought. Miritich wasn't. You look at the bench. DJ Wilson played well, but what else did they get off of the bench? They really didn't get anything. Connaughton hit a couple of shots and the three-pointers, but a number of guys did not have the type of performance you want in a big game like yesterday, and they still hung in there with the Sixers despite that.
My boy Trey on Twitter at 105.7 FM, The Fan, where you can reach us. Why would anybody be worried? Bucks are playing vanilla to end the year. No Brogdon, nobody could hit a shot. Philly shot an outlier game and barely won. I'm good. John's in Franklin. I think John might be a little more upset than Trey. What's up, John?
Hi, John.
Yeah, I am. I am disappointed, And not to pick on one player, but Middleton is the start of it all. I mean, you couldn't ask anything more of Giannis. I mean, what more could he have done? So you look at the supporting cast, and you look at the start of that game, the first quarter of that game. I mean, I'm sorry, man. The guy was just terrible, and he wasn't alone, and that's the problem. And this Brogdon thing, man, the Buck, the old school Buck fan still lives in my heart as much as I love this new look team. And it's funny because like 2 months ago, my son and I had a discussion, and I'm a big proponent of Brogdon staying on with this team, core player. He's not outstanding in any category, but every game he gives you the three ball, he gives you the drives to the hoop. I know he has a tendency to miss at the rim a fair amount, but the guy, he's just the glue, I believe, of this team. And I do hope he can come back for the second round of the playoffs because that's where I believe he'll be needed. I think we can get through whatever dredge we're going to be playing in the first round. There'll be no excuse for us not to advance, even if he doesn't come back. But once we get into the upper echelon of the East, you're darn straight we need him back.
Yeah, absolutely. I've said this before. I think he's, John, the second most important player on the team.
He brings so many different elements. What doesn't he do?
Yeah,
Defense, shoots, three ball. I just would have liked to see some of the players step up a little more, and that's my problem. And I love Middleton, but it's different when you're playing the Hornets, and when you're playing a team that comes in here with a healthy guy in the middle that we've all been waiting to see how we were going to match up against because Embiid has never been on the floor. Basically, I don't think he's been on the floor when we played them. Definitely not to the extent he was last night. And I was wondering how we were going to deal with him. And obviously we didn't deal with him very well. But Budenholzer's got his, he's got his agenda ahead of him on how he's going to have to deal with this. It dropped in his lap kind of short notice. So I still believe we're going to figure this out, but don't think it's going to be easy.
Yeah. And the Sixers, they've gone through some different combinations. I mean, look at how their team has evolved over the season, and they've gone through some injuries and all that, and they had everybody, they had all the pieces they wanted on the court yesterday. They didn't have Embiid out, they were all healthy, they were all ready to go. Their bench, the Sixer bench isn't great.
It isn't great.
I mean, Scott hit some shots for them, Mike Scott, but I mean their bench isn't that good. It's kind of a no-name bench for those guys.
So do you feel, after watching yesterday, do you feel more optimistic, more pessimistic if the Bucks are taking on the Sixers in a 7-game series?
Well,
about our chances.
Without Brogdon, without Brogdon, it's, you hate to think that, you know, you're going to have to need 52 from Giannis, and it's to put the team completely on his back.
Yeah, but if you play again, I mean, Giannis was the outside of maybe DJ.
Yeah, well, nobody, like I said, nobody else really brought it.
Nobody brought it.
That's what I said. I mean, you still lost by five.
It was all Giannis.
Despite a bunch of horrible performances. So I think you could take that out of it. I mean, yeah, they're still a good team without Brogdon. I just think playing Philly in a seven-game series, I don't feel as confident as I did last Friday.
It's Chuck and Winkler. More from you guys, 799-1250. We will get into the NCAA brackets that were announced yesterday, both Marquette and Wisconsin. A five seed. We'll look at their road ahead, but more from you guys coming up. 414-799-1250 as the Bucks lose to the Sixers on national TV. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
I'm guessing in all the years, there's probably been some plantar fascia stuff, but nothing comes to mind, either in a specific example or how long it has or hasn't taken. I do think we've got a great medical group led by Troy, and they'll do everything they can to, you know, most importantly, get him healthy first, but, you know, on a timeline that hopefully is sooner rather than later.
That's Coach Budenholzer pregame yesterday. Bucks-Sixers. Sixers 130, Bucks 125. No Malcolm Brogdon for the reports are 6 to 8 weeks. And you know what happens in November or December. Take your time, get him healthy, but a little bit more of a time constraint here with the playoffs about to start in a month. 414-799-1250. Your reaction to the game yesterday and what it tells you about a possible meeting between the two teams should Milwaukee and Philadelphia match up again come playoff time. 414-799-1250. Let's get out and talk to Ronnie, who is in Jackson. Ronnie, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Ron.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, I just want to say it's an honor and privilege to be speaking to greatness such as yourselves. I listen to the show every day at work, and I enjoy you guys, whether you guys are arguing or, you know, being the best of friends. But, yeah, you guys make my day a lot better, especially in the morning.
Is this the first time we've talked to you?
Actually, I called in on Friday, but Chuck wasn't available. So this is actually my first time calling when the player has been available.
Oh, right. Okay, all right, that counts.
Thanks, Ron. You know, when it came up on the screen, it says Ronnie Jackson. I didn't know if you were Ron from Jackson or Ronnie Jackson, but...
No, I live in Jackson, I'm usually the guy that's on Twitter that's usually coming to your rescue and your notifications, Chuck.
Oh, God, there's so few of you guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
Usually people want to hang me.
Yeah, I was the guy that sent the tweet over about the Stone Cold Steve Austin tweet about you coming into work today.
All right.
I get pumped up. So.
Oh, thanks, man.
Ronnie, what a nice way to introduce your call. You've bought yourselves up to 10 to 15 minutes of airtime now with your kind words.
Yeah, and Ronnie, you can call anytime you want now. In fact, you can call every hour of the show.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. I love you too, Bart. So, you know, you guys do a great job, and it just makes the day a lot better. But if I could say something about the Bucks, really quick, I think that with Malcolm Brogdon being gone, they have had the last two games they've had these pretty slow starts, like where they haven't been able to get on a steady rhythm. You know, I feel like Bledsoe is just missing that piece with Brogdon being there, where they can just set the tempo and just get it going. And I feel like the opportunities that the Bucks missed on in the first half yesterday could have been opportunities that they would have been able to counter on with Malcolm Brogdon being present. And then all this talk about Chris Middleton and how he doesn't deserve max, you know, I am not worried about that right now because we still have the playoffs to get to, and we're going to be in the playoffs. And, you know, last year Chris Middleton played his butt off in the playoffs, and he did a great job. So, you know, let's just play this season out. And I'm happy for Detroit because I feel like they got Toronto's number this year because they did a great job of beating Toronto yesterday. And that helps us out, too, even though we lost. So,
yeah,
thanks for letting me chime in, guys.
Ronnie, thanks for the call.
And that was a great call. Thank you. And not only the analysis, but better yet, giving us praise, man. Thank you.
I'm starting to feel like, because we've had a few of those calls lately, I'm starting to feel like some of the calls that are complimentary of us, they're starting to do it like ironically. I'm getting a little...
Hey, you know what? That's okay.
Like, it's almost too good to be true.
Hey, all I got to do.
People only like us this much, Frames.
I don't know how you feel about it. All I got to do is go to Twitter, and I can feel. All you got to do is check that out and see how bad of a person I really am.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
And anytime you feel good about yourself, just go to Twitter, and then you'll have a couple people bring you down, and then you realize, man, you must be like a real piece of garbage.
You know? I said, don't make me laugh.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it is. Seriously. To go to Twitter, you know, something, you know, you can put on there, God, what a beautiful day. And somebody will find a way to just argue with you about it. So that's okay.
Let's talk to Skyler. He's on the north side. What's up, Sky?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How you doing?
Hey, Sky.
I'm doing fine. I just wanted to say I watched the game yesterday, and I really wasn't too upset because I think Philadelphia played them their perfect game to beat the Bucks. And like everybody saw, that they wasn't even on. You had Mirotić. I think he was pressing. He ain't going to play like that in the seven game series. He's going to hit some shots, but I just want one adjustment. I think you should put what's the guy's name that looked like kid from Kid and Play, the rookie what's from Michigan?
Oh, DJ Wilson.
Yeah, DJ Wilson. I think you should have him on a B more because I like his quickness. Because Lopez just can't. He might dominate, but you just double team him with Wilson. But he can keep up with him on that three-point line because Lopez was getting hurt with that. That's the only adjustment I would like.
Yeah, the only length you could do is put Giannis on Embiid, but I'm afraid Giannis would be spending some time in foul trouble if you put him on Embiid too much. I mean, Giannis' length could take care of some of that. But, yeah, Lopez on Embiid, that's a tough matchup for Lopez.
Let's grab Doug in St. Francis quick. What's up, Doug?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey.
I'm gonna take a different perspective on this game. To me, this was a home playoff game yesterday, right? 76ers came in with a chip on their shoulder to go out to prove that they could beat the Bucks, and the Bucks treated it like a playground game against the Bulls. 130 points? You've got to be kidding me. We didn't adjust our style of play. Nobody is hitting threes, so what do? We keep heaving threes. This is my concern of this team, is not adapting to the game. And I know the three ball is what got us here in the first place. But, my God, play defense, box out, get the loose balls, and pound it in the paint instead of hanging out there and shoot threes. We're not going to beat Philly four times in a series. I think 1-5, Philly is better than us, but we're deeper. But, my God, you guys, yesterday was just abysmal. And Giannis is not going to give you 52 points probably ever again for the next couple of years.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And there is just, well, it's just his high game. And Giannis is not going to hit threes like he hit yesterday in a playoff series. So I was very disappointed yesterday, to say the least.
Well, I think here's what Brett Brown did. He told Giannis, you could take all those threes, big boy, you want from beyond the arc. You can go out there and sit all day. You know, it's like, what sword are you going to die on with Giannis? And he said, go out there and hit the three. But, I mean, hey, 19 of 21 at the free throw line. How about that for Giannis?
You know, the thing I want to talk about today with the Bucks is over the next month, like, what are they playing for? In terms of, do you show yourselves a little vanilla? Do you play every game like you have to win? Do these games really have a big impact come playoff time? Do you try to keep guys healthy? Is that one seed still in question? With what intensity are you playing these games?
Yeah, I'll tell you. The coach sure looks like that was game 7 of the NBA Finals last night.
Well, Budenholzer looks like that when he goes to buy ice cream. I mean, that guy's...
Don't make me laugh. I'm still getting over a cold, too.
It's served up by Perkins. More from you guys, 414-799-1250. We'll talk Bucks with you. We'll talk NCAA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.